Hey family, this is Pastor Devin Wallace, and I'm praying wherever you are listening from today, whether it's in your car or you're on a run or just drinking a cup of coffee, know that God will bless this time as you hear His Word. And if this message today blesses you, it might bless someone else, so be sure to share it with someone you know. God bless you. I just want to deliver the Word of the Lord. Let's breathe for just a moment, and let me just say that the Word I have can be received as a very intense word or heavy word, or it could actually be received as a word of comfort. And today I believe the Lord has spoken words of comfort throughout this entire service, that He is the God who is with us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the God who is present and He is already victorious. He has already overcome. And I just thank you for your grace for putting up with me. Y'all can smile a little bit when I come up here and I sing off key. Y'all have no idea how far the Lord has brought me. From being a shy, timid person to coming up here and being our worship team's worst nightmare when I just make up my own words to any key. But I do that, so hopefully it'll give you freedom to worship too, right? We just have to make a joyful noise. And then the best part of today's service, I'm trying to make you smile. If I could have video footage from the stage to the congregation when we transition and the lights come on, it is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen, because it's like turning the lights on your teenager when they've been asleep in a dark pit. Who had that experience this morning? I looked and some of you were like, Saul on the road to Damascus, blinded by the light. We can laugh in church, so I'm trying to make you smile. It's not really working, because by the time I'm done, you won't be smiling. But I'm here to deliver a word of the Lord, not for me, but for you, because I have processed this and I'm living it, and I hope my personal journey right now will be encouraging to you. So I got up this past week, two mornings in a row. I usually run in the evening, and the Lord got me up early in the morning and had me run, and I know that always is significant. And both days were significant, but on the second day that I ran, the Lord spoke this word to me, and I have ingested it for a couple days as a personal word, but then I realized it was bigger than a personal word. As I was running, God spoke three words to me. So how many were here for the last time I actually preached, and it was planned, on the motion of spinning? Who was in the house on the potter's wheel? And I told you at that moment there were other activities of movement that would be taking place, that the spinning was setting a series of motions into action. And I guess this is the conclusion to that being unplanned. The Lord spoke three words of motion to me while I was running. Everybody, I want you to say these words with me. Say shaking, shifting, and settling. We're going to say them one more time. I want them deep in your spirit. Shaking, shifting, and settling. As I was running, the Lord said, Devin, these three things are happening in your life. I want you to recognize them, and I want you to recognize them as they happen in this nation and in the kingdom. I'm about to shake, I'm about to shift, but I promise I will settle. I'm about to shake, I will shift, but I promise I will settle. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to try to put a text to it so it sounds a little more sermonic. And I'm going to take you to John chapter 6, to the very familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. And His disciples are passing from one side of the shore to the other. Terrible wind begins to blow against their boat, and they are terrified, and they think they're alone. But we know Jesus is up on a mountain praying. He sees what they're going through, and He decides to come to them in a method they have never seen before. He decides to come to them with a revelation of Himself they have never walked with Him in before. In the middle of great turmoil, Jesus does show up, but it's not like they think. And what they are panicking about, what they are freaking out about, what they are fearful about, Jesus is actually walking on top of. What is shaking their boat, what is shaking their faith, what is causing terror in the core of their being, Jesus is calmly defying nature and gravity and stepping on top of. And they are terrified, and He says these words, "Don't be afraid, it's me. Don't be afraid, it's me." And if you don't remember anything I say in this download today, I want you to walk away with those words in your spirit. Don't be afraid, Jesus said, it's me, or it is I. So what does that word shaking mean? It means to tremble or to vibrate. And unfortunately, it means to agitate. Shaking means to agitate. It is motion from side to side or up and down, but it's not necessarily movement. And I'll explain that in a moment. Shaking is motion up and down, side to side. It's an agitating. It is a trembling or a vibrating, but it's not necessarily a movement, meaning something can shake but not move from its location. Something can shake and stay exactly where it is. It can shake in place. I can shake my hand and it stay in place, or a tree can be shaken for the fruit to fall, and it can stay in place. So shaking is movement, not motion, but it's not necessarily movement. It's a trembling or a vibrating, an agitating. It can be startling. It can be frightening, especially when you feel something shaking from underneath your feet. When the ground begins to shake, there's immediate instability and a lack of control. And you don't have to believe my stories. It's funny. The Lord and I laugh about them. But when I began to run and I was praying about this word shaking, the Lord said to me, Devin, it will be a seismic shaking, a seismic shaking. Now, unfortunately, I am not as smart as the Holy Spirit sometimes allows me to look. I had to actually look up what seismic meant to even know what he was saying. And that means a shaking of the ground, a shaking of the terrain, a shaking of the foundation. I'm going to go even further with my crazy story. I was up early, okay? And I had no idea when I was done with my run, I would receive messages from my dear friends in New York that while the Lord was speaking this word, their ground was shaking with a 4.8 earthquake at the gateway of New York. So this word became real to me immediately. You know, alone on a track running, thinking God's just speaking to you, and then you realize the ground is shaking on the other side of our nation at the northeast coast, which is now in a nor'eastern, and there was shaking happening. God said it will be a seismic shaking. It will be of the ground under your feet. And when something under our feet at our foundation shakes, it will test our stability. It will test our structure. It can be very frightening, but shaking can have positive connotations. And I already talked about how if I wanted to get an apple out of an apple tree, I would shake the tree so that the loose fruit would fall. And shaking separates from the core whatever is loose, whatever is peripheral, whatever is not stable, whatever is not completely attached. And if you go shake a tree, leaves will fall. And you will find shaking is meant to loose what is not truly connected. Shaking, however, is only a symptom of an unseen reality. Shaking is tangible fruit of something that is happening deeper underneath. Seismic shaking is actually not the focus. It is simply the fruit and the evidence of something that is happening on a deeper level. The shaking of the earth's crust, like our friends in New York just experienced and we're seeing happening, like a chain reaction around the globe. The shaking of the surface, the shaking of buildings, the shaking of items in house dishes, the shaking of structures is actually just a fruit of something greater, something more significant that is happening in an unseen realm, and that is a shifting. Shaking can be, and you just got to track with me because this is a Devin Wallace, God talking to me word, so there's going to be a lot of things you're just going to have to absorb today. But listen, shaking can be an initiator of shifting, or shaking can be a byproduct of shifting. But shaking is not the shifting. I'm going to say that one more time, really slow today. Shaking and shifting are not the same thing. Shaking is movement up or down, back and forth, vibrating, agitating. But something can shake and not change position or change direction or change location. But you cannot experience a shift and remain in the same place you were before the shift happened. You can shake me and I can stay in the same place, but a shift is a change in location or direction. Do you hear the very small difference between the two?
So sometimes we focus on the shaking because it's what we feel and it's what we see, and it is the tangible evidence of something deeper happening. And we freak out about the shaking, and we focus on the shaking, and we talk about the shaking. But I'm here to tell you, the shaking is only an initiator, or it's only a byproduct of the real movement that Yahweh is after. He is not here to stop at shaking. He's really after a shifting in our lives. So when we feel the tremors of an earthquake, it's very difficult to know if it's a precursor to the real quake or if it's an aftershock. I spoke to some of my friends the day after the earthquake, and they said, we're still feeling aftershocks. There was a shaking that happened before. There are warnings before earthquakes. There are small tremblings that will happen. And then even after the shift, there is a byproduct of aftershocks that will happen. But the focus, the significance is not in the shaking. The significance is in the shifting. Do you hear me today? Shaking can actually instigate shifting. This is really important. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus says, or the writer, Paul says, that the word of the Lord, the voice of God, shook the heavens and the earth, and that he has said once again, I will shake everything that can be shaken. What is the purpose of the shaking? Destruction of what is unnecessary or in the way, so that what is kingdom will remain. That's what Hebrews is telling us. He's about to shake everything. He's going to shake the heavens and shake the earth, because what he wants is for the kingdom to rise up and the peripheral to fall to the ground. Because it's very easy in our carnal lives to mistake kingdom for what is temporal, what is man-made, and what is not of God. And the only thing sometimes that will separate what is man-made versus what is God-made is a good, healthy shaking from the top to the bottom. Because what God puts his hand on, nothing can destroy. What God breathes on, nothing can terminate. What God constructs by his Spirit, there is not one thing hell can cough up that will ever stop it. But what man makes can never stand when God shakes the tree. And God said, I'm about to shake, but I'm not shaking for the sake of shaking. I'm not shaking things to get attention or to cause fear. I'm not shaking things to cause destruction. I am about to shake things because there's a shift that needs to take place. And I'm going to instigate a shift by shaking what can be shaken, so that something shifts into place according to his order and his alignment. Shaking causes destruction to anything that is loose, unstable, or compromised. Anything that is not rooted or grounded. And shaking can seem extremely negative at the onset. But shaking is very intentional and purposeful destruction. How can you say that, Pastor Devin? I'm going to actually show you scripturally where sometimes destruction is actually the gift of God to his people. There is a shaking that's coming that is not aimless shaking, but intentional, targeted, and purposeful destruction. Not of God, not of his people, not of the kingdom, but of the works and the empire of darkness. There is a shaking that's coming that if you listen to the voice of culture and the voice of the enemy, you will think God is out to get his people. But I'm here to tell you, it's his jealousy that is initiating the shaking. And he has had it with counterfeit. He has had it with man-made. And this is the year of the redemption. And this is the year that God's kingdom will rise up. And there is a carefully designed shaking that will not destroy you. It will not destroy your house, but it will destroy everything the enemy has constructed around you to hinder you, lock you in, or keep you from the fullness of his kingdom. Purposeful destruction. Let's take a look at scripture. The children of Israel instigated an earthquake when they marched around Jericho. It's crazy. If you look at tectonic plates today, I'm going to get into that in a moment. But Jericho, the city of Jericho, is actually on a fault line called the Jericho fault line. And many scientists who have studied that beautiful story about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, we know that something supernatural happened to cause the walls that were well fortified by the enemy to crumble in one moment. There was not the strength of any human being, no weapon that any army could devise that could have destroyed the fortified structure of the enemy. Only the shaking of Yahweh could destroy what was keeping God's people out and keeping the enemy in. So God, in his infinite wisdom, told over 1 million people to start marching around the city of Jericho, but to be quiet. Now, this is just Devin giving a science lesson, a what if. We won't know till we get to heaven, but let's just interact with scripture and say, what if? What if Yahweh knew they could only do one lap a day or the earthquake would happen too soon? What if he knew the boundaries of that fault line and the weight that it can take? Can you imagine the weight of over 1 million people marching in a line on the same spot every day for 6 days? But he said, be quiet. Because we know not only would the marching of feet cause a shaking of the ground, but so would the sound waves that would come from the shouting and the trumpet sounds of over 1 million people. But on the last day, they not only marched it, but they shouted. And I'm here to tell you, those walls fell. They did not fall like normal walls, or they would have destroyed the children of Israel. They did not fall outwardly on top of God's people. Why do scientists believe an earthquake happened? They actually believe the walls imploded into the ground. In other words, instead of falling this way, they fell straight into the ground so that they did not destroy God's people. Just a what if. But I'm here to let you know there's a shaking that can initiate a purposeful destruction that will result in more than a shaking. It resulted in a shifting in the position of God's people. They were now able to infiltrate the land of promise because of purposeful destruction. Paul and Silas, they were in a prison cell. They were bound hands and feet. They were bound by a large number of guards because they feared them escaping. They were bound in such a way the enemy had well fortified the apostles of Yahweh. And only a shaking from heaven could deliver them from the prison cell in which they were encapsulated. And I'm here to tell you, God designed a very purposeful destruction, not on Paul and Silas, but on the prison cell that held the church of the living God. And at midnight, they began to praise. And as they praised, there was a violent shaking, a violent earthquake. And you know the story. Paul and Silas were not destroyed. The harvest, the prisoners were not destroyed. The jailkeeper was not destroyed. But every prison cell was open and every chain fell, because the shaking that is coming will not destroy the harvest. The shaking that is coming will open up the prison doors so the harvest can come to him. Do you hear the word of the Lord? And my last example, so we can move through this word, would be the cross of Jesus Christ. And we know this because we just celebrated Easter, although Passover will be coming at the end of April. And as he finished the work on the cross that we sang about over and over today, you know that the eclipse happened and the sun was blackened, but an earthquake happened. A shaking happened. Jesus instigated a shaking that birthed a shifting. The shaking was not the goal of the cross. It was the byproduct of what was happening underneath the earth. And I'm here to tell you there was a purposeful destruction that happened in the shaking of the ground at the cross of Jesus Christ. When he shook on the cross, the Bible says the veil to the temple was destroyed. The temple was discombobulated. In other words, the shaking produced a shift in man's perspective of God. The shaking produced a destruction of a formal religious system into a new way of encountering God, where he was no longer contained behind the veil, but his presence was made known to his people. A shaking that produced a purposeful destruction for the releasing of the kingdom. So don't confuse the shaking with the actual shifting. And wherever you see shaking, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the shift that is actually taking place, or the shift that he is after. Because shifting, when shaking occurs, there may be an aftermath of destruction. There may be an unsettling. But when shifting occurs, something will change flow, direction, or position. Something moves from one spot to another. Shaking is movement, but shifting is repositioning. And when something shakes, it can remain intact. But when something shifts, pressure is released. I'm going to talk for just a moment about pressure at the core. Because earthquakes happen in a natural realm on planet Earth to release pressure at the core. And I didn't come to teach a science lesson today, but I guess we're going to, because we know God is the God of science and he speaks to us in all circumstances. But you know, and I know we learned it in second grade and in third grade, that the earth under its crust, there are tectonic plates that move about time to time under the earth, and there are fault lines. And I wish I had time to preach about the pressure at the fault lines, but there are fault lines all over this earth. There are specific fault lines. They have names, and it's spaces and places where tectonic plates will meet, and they will collide, or they will shift past one another, or they will butt heads with one another. A fault line is a place where tectonic plates can actually move. And what will happen is these tectonic plates, they will encounter one another. They will come head to head with one another, and they will begin to push on one another, and a pressure will begin to build at the core under the earth's surface. You can walk on top of a fault line and you have no idea of what the conflict that's taking place under the ground. You can have a picnic on top of a fault line and have no idea how many pounds of pressure are meeting head to head underneath the ground. And at the core of the earth, there can be a pressure, a conflict taking place that to the naked eye you don't see until the shaking starts. What does this have to do with me, Pastor Devin? Why in the world did you take Pastor Kevin's time to talk about earthquakes today? Because it's the same with you. From the surface, you can fake us all out. From the surface, you can hide what's going on at your core. On the surface, we can sit down and have a picnic, and I can have no clue that inside of you, two things are colliding and pressure is mounting, and you can feel it building because something is fighting for space. Something is fighting for space in your life, and that pressure will mount until something finally wins. And I came to talk to some people who have been in a season just like me. At your core, there's been a building pressure. There's been a building discomfort. Things that used to move freely in your life are now hitting up against something that's competing for space, something God's trying to do. You feel a pressure inside of you. You know things aren't like it used to be. Something's shifting, and you feel that pressure. Nobody sees it when they pass you at Walmart. Nobody sees it when they sit down beside you at church, but rest assured, Yahweh sees it, and he is instigating a shifting in your life. Do you hear the word of the Lord? We go through seasons of permission in our life where things will cohabitate without conflict. We go through seasons of our life where dreams, ambitions, people, activities, daily schedule. It can exist without conflict. But when God starts moving in a new thing, sometimes the old thing gets really stubborn and it doesn't want to move. And when God's getting ready to do a new thing in your life, you'll find it's like a big tectonic plate shifting into your spirit. But the problem is something's already occupying the space of the new thing, and the old thing will dig its heels in. The old thing will be stubborn like another tectonic plate, and you will find a competition for the space of your life. You will find God's trying to move something in, but for what the new thing he wants to do, something else has to give. Now, this may not be for you, but if it's for you, you are feeling this at the core of your spirit right now, a shift that God has brought you to the cusp or the precipice of a shift. And there's pressure, and it's real. And you're not really sure what to do. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do anything but give Yahweh your yes. Because as I was running, God said, Devin, I'm about to initiate a shaking. I have had it with the pressure at your core. I have had it with the pressure and the competition at the core of this nation. I have had it with the pressure of the kingdom. I'm about to produce a shaking. And you may feel like I'm trying to destroy you, but I'm not just here to destroy you, Devin. I'm here to save you. I'm gonna shake you until that shift happens. I will shake you until your core moves into alignment with what I have for you. The building pressure at the core. And God said, I'm gonna shake because I love you too much to leave you in inner pressure and conflict. And behold, I'm the crazy one that got up here and decreed it. We don't like to take him at his word, do we? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. But did he not say, forget the former things, forget the things of old? Jesus was letting us know, if I bring in this new thing and you're still holding on to the old thing, there's gonna be a conflict because I won't stop. Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will always return to me full. And some of us, we said, yes, bring the new thing, but the old thing is still in conflict. And God said, I'm about to shake you into alignment until there's a shifting into what I have. Remember, when something shakes, it can remain intact. And some of you have experienced a series of shaking, and you thought it was a shift. But if what God is after is still intact, sweetheart, you've not encountered the shift yet. When you feel the shaking starting in your life, it's hard to know the difference. How do you know the difference between a shake and a shift? When you shake, you'll go home and you'll still feel the pressure. In fact, the shaking makes the pressure worse. You'll feel that shaking, and you'll think, God, is this the shift? But when you go home, circumstances have not changed. But when you experience the shift, you will know it, because there will be an immediate release of inner pressure at the core and an immediate alignment into the reality God has called you. I actually think I'm prophesying by faith for me today. I think I'm still in the shaking phase. I don't know what phase you're in. All I know is this. I'm speaking to our nation, the kingdom of God as a whole. The earth is shaking. I didn't even know when the Lord was giving me this word, the earth was shaking. Am I here to prophesy physical earthquakes? Heck no, nobody wants to live through that. But I'm here to tell you, the earth is groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. That's you. The earth is groaning for your unveiling. The earth is groaning for your alignment. The earth is groaning for you to be the new thing. So if the earth shakes a little bit right now, I just want you to know, don't be distracted by peripheral shaking. I promise promise you, if the physical earth shakes over the coming months and year, that is nothing compared to what God is doing in the spirit realm. There is a deeper shaking and shifting of significance that is happening over your life and over this nation. This is how kingdom words work. Can I teach for just a moment? God will speak a word, and it's for the kingdom. It crosses all cultures, all barriers, all ethnicities. That the king, when someone preaches the kingdom, if it can only be preached to a certain group of people in a certain place, it's not a kingdom word. The kingdom word, it's for everybody. But that everybody is made up of individuals. That's why the kingdom's in you. So when someone prophesies a word to the kingdom, for some reason we sit on our seat and we think, well, that must be for all the pastors, all the prophets, must be for all the government leaders. It's for somebody important. It's certainly not for me. Not so. The kingdom is within you. So what you will find is that when God speaks a kingdom word, it will happen across the globe, but it will happen inside of you. It will happen in your family. It will happen in your house. It will happen in your children. So what are you saying, Pastor Devin? I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm prophesying. There's about to be a huge shaking over this nation, over the nations of the earth. You better watch Israel over the coming weeks. There's about to be a huge shaking. But you're going to feel it on a personal level. For those of you that are like, oh, praise God, he's about to shake America and shake Israel. I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat lunch with my family and act like that has nothing to do with me. You're going to feel, just like if an earthquake hit this nation, you would feel it in your house. What God's about to do in the kingdom, you're going to feel it in your marriage, with your children, in your own house. If he's calling the kingdom into alignment, that includes you. You matter. There's about to be a shaking. There's about to be movement at the core. There's about to be a completion, because the Lord will never be satisfied with cycles of shaking that never end in shifting. Some of us get stuck in cycles of shaking because we won't surrender to the shifting. But it's the shift that God is after, because it's the settling is how he's going to finish this thing. I'm trying to hurry. God said, Devin, I'm going to instigate some shaking. And I need you to know, I'm not mad. Not mad at you. I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm not just here to watch you get scared. I don't find pleasure in watching dishes fall off the walls of your life. I'm after something deeper that you can't see. And I see the pressure. I see the shifting tectonic plates. And if you can trust me, I'm going to shake you until all that remains is me. And you may be afraid in the process, but at the end, he said, I will settle you. See, we preach about a God who wars, but never a God of peace. Anybody ever been caught in that or know people that they're always fighting spiritual battles and they're never enjoying victory? I'm going to tell you something. I will get in a foxhole with any of you. I am all about spiritual warfare. I will fight, pray, fast. But you got to realize the goal of every battle is victory. God made his people mighty warriors so they can inherit a promised land where they actually enjoy their children and enjoy the land and drink milk and honey. David was a man of war because Solomon was a king of peace. So if your wars never end in peace, you need to check who's instigating your battles. And it's the same way with God. Some of us will hear a word like this and be like, yep, that's the God I've always known, Carolyn. All he does is shake. All he does is destroy. All he does is make us unsettled and produce fear and judge and destroy. No! God, his purpose. at peace? You know what makes God happy? Your joy. You know what he wants for your family? To be at peace. But he loves you too much to allow you to call the temporary reprise of shaking in between circumstances peace. Some of you have lived in little increments of stillness in between shakings, and you call that peace. And if you don't yield to the shifting, that's the only peace you'll ever know. But there's a real peace he's trying to bring to someone. And it's on the other side of what's going to look really destructive. Stillness, peace, still waters. When tectonic plates are competing against one another, shaking will occur. And then a little pressure can be released, or a little bit, I guess you could say, of movement could happen that will actually cause stillness, but it's temporary. Any good seismologist would tell you that. They watch the pattern because the more frequent the shaking comes, the more they know the pressure is unable to be satisfied. And many of us, we just pray through until pressure is satisfied. But we don't pray through until alignment comes, right? We take an Advil for the pain in our neck and we numb it, but we don't go to the chiropractor to move back into place what needs to be moved. And that's the opportunity we have in this season. Is are you and your household going to settle for an Advil? Or are you ready to let Yahweh fix the problem? Are you ready to let Yahweh align what's out of alignment and reposition? Some of it is not even a problem. He's just trying to birth something new in you. And the old, I don't mean to be graphic, but it's like a mother who gives birth. You know, once you give birth, the first thing they do is clear your womb. It's like a clearing of what was, so that what you've been praying for can actually come. And if you don't allow him to move out the old, what you've been praying for is actually going to rob the peace of your life, because they can't coexist. Some of you have been praying prayers and you've been wondering why it seems like things are getting worse. There's a seismic shaking for real peace. God is trying to shake you and shift you into a place of settledness. And this is what happens after the ground shakes, after a true shift happens and tectonic plates move, the earth repositions. And this has happened through the history of the earth. And I wish I had time to paint a picture for you like Bob Ross, but the beautiful things of our earth are actually the result of horrific events. Mountains, valleys, the Grand Canyon, the beautiful things that you enjoy that bring you peace are actually the result of the settling of great shaking and shifting. And we want the terrain to change, but we want to bypass the necessary motion to get there. And you need to know the shaking and the shifting is not the destination of your life. It's a short season to get you to a place where the terrain of your life changes. This is not for everybody, but I know there's got to be at least one other person in this room that has had the same prayers that I've had. Father, we need a terrain change. In this nation, we need a terrain change. and globally in the kingdom, even the body of Christ, Abba, we need a terrain change. We don't need a band-aid. We don't need a patching together work. We don't need you to dust us off and just try to make us, patch us through to make it. Father, there needs to be a terrain change. We've got to see you differently. We've got to display you differently. Something's got to change in my own life. I am tired of cycles. I am tired of the repeat. I am ready for a terrain change. And that only comes with a shift. It will actually change the way the ground looks forever. It will permanently change the outward appearance because of an inward motion called a shift. So I'm ending with this. It's what I read to you at the beginning. As I was running, crying by now, saying, Lord, I trust you. I am not going to lie, God. I'm not sure I like this word. But where else can I go? Like Jesus, when he looked at his disciples, said, you going to leave me too? Peter said, really, God, where else can we go? You're not really in covenant with him until you respond that way. As long as it's optional, you're just dating. You're not in covenant with him until you look at him and say, till death do we part. Right? So I'm running and I'm like, God, I don't like this word. But who else do I trust? Where else would I go? God, you are stuck with me. Have you ever told him that? God, you're stuck with me. If I sing off key, if I embarrass you, if I miss it, if I do the wrong thing, you are stuck with me. I don't have anywhere else to go. You are my everything. You are it for me. Job said, even if you slay me, I will still trust you. So I said, God, I don't know if I like this word, but I don't really know what option I have. I'm tired of this mounting pressure. I have prayed for you to do these things in my life and in the kingdom in this nation. I don't know what this means for our nation. I don't know what this means for Israel. All I know is this. God said, you need to know my goal is not to harm you. My goal is to settle you. My goal is not to harm America. I don't care who prophesies it. His goal is not to harm this nation. His goal is to settle the nations of the earth. His goal is to settle the bride of Christ. And he said, if you know my intention, then you can trust my actions. Some of you have gone through great trials in your life, and the enemy, he lied to you about God's intentions. God forbid some spiritual leader in your life lied to you like it was God's will to watch you suffer, when he only allows his children to suffer if there's a greater glory on the other side. If you think God enjoys watching you hurt, you must have had a terrible mother and father. He's better than any earthly mother or father. And I'm going to tell you this, I would cut off my right arm if it would save my children pain. Don't you misjudge the intentions of the Lord. He doesn't enjoy watching you suffer, but it is the joy before you that he wants you to focus on, that the suffering is just a temporary reprise on the way to something that will make it all worth it. That's what kind of trust you've got to have. He said, if you know my intentions, then you will trust my actions. And so that's the words I heard. He said, Devin, don't be afraid. It's me. Susan, don't be afraid. It's me. I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling you, I might have to decree it over our nation in the coming months. Don't be afraid. It's not the devil. It's God. They saw him walking on the water. He appeared in a way they had never seen him before. He was doing things in a method they weren't used to, and they thought he was a ghost, meaning they thought he was an evil spirit. But it was his voice. He said, don't be afraid. It's me. And I just need to help somebody. You can stop rebuking the devil now. He ain't that big. And he's not that powerful. You can stop telling everybody the devil's on your track and thinking God's mad at you. Those are all religious lies. Here is the truth. Your life is shaking right now because he is madly in love with you, and he will not allow the enemy to rob one promise of his word from your life. He loves your children. He loves this nation, and God will not relent in his jealousy until his kingdom has risen in your life. So it's not the devil. It's a loving father that says, if you'll just trust me, let me shake this right out of you. Let me shake that until a shift occurs. And then I'm going to settle you. You know, the shaking, I'll end with this. Y'all can go ahead. I'll be here all day because I'm living this, not just preaching it. Jesus went to the cross and the great earthquake happened. And the sky grew dark, which is really cool in case you have somehow had your head in the sand. We do have a solar eclipse tomorrow, which is, you know, what scientists say happened when Jesus was on the cross. So cool that it's just right after Easter and before Passover. But it, great destruction happened. That day was rough, y'all. That day was so rough. If anybody ever thought God had forsaken them, it was probably the disciples that day. They'd given their life for a man that they watched die like any other human, even though they had decreed him to be the Son of God. They ran and they hid. That's a bad day. Jesus experienced the most gruesome death. It was not even a normal crucifixion. I hope you understand that. It wasn't normal. It's horrible. And the ground shook, the temple was destroyed, the veil was rent, the sun went dark. Let's just be real, the city was in chaos. It looked like a mess, but it was exactly what he was after, because what looked like it was intact was actually a well-constructed prison of the enemy. And everything he destroyed was just really what was in his way of his children. So it looked like a holy mess, but I want you to know, Jesus made sure to settle his children. He found them. He found them in an upper room hiding. They tried to lock him out. They didn't trust anybody. They were hurt and afraid. They tried to lock him out. Not really him, just anybody. And you know what? He just walked through the walls. I love you. But the walls of your life, they're nothing for him. I know they keep people out, but this morning I believe he's just about to walk right through what you have carefully constructed in your pain and fear. He walked right in. He said, don't be afraid. It's me. Come on, Thomas. I know you doubted me the whole time. You know, I always wondered, it's awfully graphic for Thomas to want to put his hand in his side. And, you know, you can interpret it however you want, but it bothered me. And I remember just praying one day, Lord, what was that? But, you know, if Jesus had come in a whole form, they might not have believed that he really went through the cross. They might have believed it was just a facade or a vision. But do you know that your risen Savior still bears the scars that he really was there? He really went through it for you. So Thomas, let those piercings and that hole be a reminder that God isn't trying to make you suffer. He suffered for you, and he's here to settle you. And these are the words he said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. In other words, he shook them hard. Because he shifted their position and their direction, but he did not leave them in a state of fear and a state of instability. He came and said, now I'm here to settle you. into your new normal. And those same disciples that were afraid at the first shaking, do you know they all died martyrs? John was on the Isle of Patmos. I guess they tried to martyr him. They boiled him in oil and he survived it. And they never ran again. Do you know they never ran again? Not even in persecution, not even in pain, because something shifted in them. The shaking only exposed their fear and their cowardice and their lack of understanding who Jesus was. But when he gave them peace, there was not a cross, there was not a flame, there was not a sword that would ever take it from them. And that's what God's after for you standing in this place. He's after a settling in you that nothing in this world can take. What's going to shake out of your life? Fear? Lack of trust? Can you just lift your hands and worship him for just a moment? And let me pray over you as I bring this crazy word to a landing. Abba, would you walk into this room today? I feel your holy presence. You are a good father, Abba God. You are a good father. And we reject every lie that anything in you is anything but good. And Abba, we hear your word today. I thank you that in your gracious love you speak to us. You give us instruction. You give us advanced knowledge. You love to bring us into the secrets of your heart. And today, Abba, we have seen physically the shaking that's already happening. But Lord, we know there's a more valuable shaking to take place. It's not in the natural terrain of this nation or this globe, but it's in the spiritual realm. And Father, as much as we love our comfort, we understand that sometimes a shaking is necessary and a shifting is necessary. Now, don't you pray it with me if you don't mean it, but I'm going to pray my own prayer. So, Father, we yield to your shaking and your shifting because we understand if you design it, then it's out of your goodness. And it's out of your love. And your ways are better. Your ways are higher. And we surrender to that. So, Father, if in our personal lives we get a little uncomfortable, if the result is your peace, then, Father, we embrace it. Lord, I thank you that in your love today, you are interrupting someone's cycles of false peace. I thank you, Father, you love your sons and daughters in this room too much to allow them to survive with pressure at the core. To allow them to survive from shaking to shaking with no productive results. I thank you, Father, that your peace is true peace. And I ask you to release that in this room even now. Would you just breathe your peace over your people today? Shalaka Savahola Mahashe, Sahalaha Kuriaha Mahashe Avasi, Selamahu Sandala Bakaya. I just hear the words of the Father. He is saying, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not a peace that the world would give, but a peace that is from above. Thank you that you release your shalom over your people now. Your shalom over our homes, over our children. Your shalom over this house. I release the shalom of Yahweh over redemption to the nation's church. I thank you, Father, we receive your peace in the middle of shaking. And I thank you, Father, for the alignment, for the repositioning, for the new terrain that's on the horizon. Thank you for the joy on the horizon. And we trust you. So if you're in this room right now, I want to pray a prayer I did not intend to pray. But I just feel like there are some people in this room right now that you have gone through some very difficult seasons in your life, and the enemy has used those seasons to slander God's goodness in your life. And you think, well, what does that have to do with shaking, Devin? Because what God wants to do in your life, he's not going to be able to do until you trust him. And you may not say it out of your mouth that you don't trust him, but the Lord sees with that flashlight of the Spirit on your heart that the enemy has slandered his nature and his character to you because of some really tough seasons you've walked through. And today he just wants to pour healing oil upon those places. He's here for you, Thomas. He is not one bit upset by your questions or your doubt. He came into this room for you, and he is not going to be hindered by the thickness of your walls. He wants you to touch him. He wants you to know he was there suffering with you. He wants you to put your hand in his side to let you know he knows what it feels like to be pierced in a deep place. And his peace is available. So I know that's really specific, but if you say, Pastor Devin, that's me, I'm going to just invite you to come to this altar. I know that's bold. I was going to have you raise your hand at your seat, but then we never can find you to pray for you. So if you say, Pastor Devin, I've just been through some really rough seasons that the enemy's really just tried to misconstrue my perspective of God, and I need healing and I need peace. Because I want to be able to trust God. I want to trust him like you say trust him. But you don't know what I've been through. And you're right, I don't, but he does. And I just need to tell somebody who's coming to the front right now, he's not mad at you for how you feel. Some of you coming to this altar, you have justifiable reasons for how you feel. No one is going to condemn you. But today he's here to heal you. So if you'll just come, and if altar workers will just help me. And if you're not responding to this portion of the altar right now, would you just stretch your hands toward them? I'm telling you, he's here. He's here, he's here. If the worship team just wants to come and just begin to flow prophetically, whatever God gives you. What I am going to do, I'm going to pray something else in a moment, but while these are praying in the altar, if you're at your seat, why don't you just ask him to fortify your faith? You may not have gone through this season, but since we know some shaking might come, why don't you ask him just to reestablish your trust in him, to fortify your faith? You can grab your spouse's hand, your children's hand, but right now, can we just reaffirm our trust in him, our reliance on him? God, we're not running anywhere else. We're running straight to you today. We may not like uncomfortable seasons, but we're in love with you, and we run to you. You can just lift your hands at your seat as a sign. I'm running to you. I'm running to you in the shaking when the ground shifts. I'm running to you. While Pastor Tobin sings this song and they continue to respond, I'm just going to open the altars wide, because when you're done, you can go. And I know many of you have to go. But if you say, Pastor Devin, this word was for me, I have felt the pressure at the core. I have felt the beginning of shaking. You know if it was for you. If it was you, I can't leave this morning without giving you the opportunity to respond and come forward. And we'll pray for you for grace and the shaking and the shifting. If nothing else, just come forward to surrender to him in it. But if you say, Pastor Devin, I have been experiencing a great amount of inner pressure at my core, because I know God is doing a new thing in my life, and I just want his grace right now for the shift. I'm ready for the shift to happen. If that's you, you can also come forward to this altar.